SBS کوردی روجنینی ششه وار روجن یکشمه دوی دونیورو یان گهلدانا بریا انترنت دما دخوازی.
With the help of a group of international lawyers, a UK-based organisation called the Lotus Flower is seeking compensation for a group of Yazidi women who say they were used as sex slaves, raped and abused by an Australian IS terrorist believed to be the notorious Khalid Sharif. In the studio with us today, we have Taban Shorish, founder of the Lotus Flower Foundation, a non-for-profit organisation for displaced women, who's visiting Sydney to attend the court hearing taking place on Friday, 14th of June. Welcome to SBS Studios.
Thank you.
We spoke to you last, was in March, and how has your case been going and what are the support that you have gathered ever since?
So I think the last time that we spoke to each other, we'd submitted the claim and we've gathered some momentum and some support for the case that we're pushing forward. But it's definitely something where our activities have pushed momentum forward, and we do feel like that Australia's listening to us and there are people listening and we're gathering support. And the proposals and the solutions that we're putting forward, even though it seems very difficult to put in place because it doesn't exist, it's starting to be listened to and people are looking at it. It makes sense. It's a logical solution.
You explained the victims' compensation. If you could elaborate on what that means, if it is a positive outcome for you, how will the process work for the victims? How will they get compensated?
Well, under the victims' compensation scheme, victims are entitled to apply for compensation. But the Yazidi women that we represent are not residents of New South Wales. Therefore, they wouldn't be entitled to applying. So I guess if we were successful at first point, being recognised that they're allowed to apply under a scheme would be a massive success. I think at this point, what I can say is that what our actions are will be highlighting is it's going to highlight the gap that there currently is in the system. So the crime that's been committed against the women that we represent are war crimes, and that's recognised at the Commonwealth level. But at the same time, there's no parallel recognition for a victim's compensation scheme, so they aren't entitled to any form of remedy. What we would be doing is we'd highlight that gap, and hopefully, if it does go through, then it's a massive symbolic recognition for the women to actually say these crimes were committed against you, and we hear you, and this is some form of justice that we can provide.
Where will the actual fund come from?
Well, we've proposed a solution for using seized foreign fighter assets. And actually, if those foreign fighter assets were redistributed through the victims' compensation scheme, then that is the money that would be used to compensate the women.
Would that be collective assets of several foreign fighters, let's say, or just the one that is in concern now?
It would be collective. It would definitely be collective. And I think that is also a preventative measure against anyone that's thinking about joining an organisation like that. So a collective effort is definitely what we're aiming for.
The Lotus Flower, a grassroots organisation. Can you tell us the women, how are their healing going as you work with them one-on-one in the camps in Kurdistan region?
So our approach to working with the women is very much a human-centric approach, and we try and take their individual needs and listen to them individually. And the programs that we implement are actually very much led by them. So we speak to them and ask them what kind of programs that they want. We do educational programs, livelihood programs, mental health, well-being. For example, I can give you an example of a particular project that's extremely popular at the moment, which is the boxing program. Boxing is very good for mental health and well-being and confidence building and empowerment. And in the region, it's something that's not really used by women, I guess. We've got no women boxing instructors at all. And the way that we would able to implement it through our centres and be accepted by the community and the families and the male members was because we were so sensitive to the culture. We didn't come across as a threat. And so now this program has become a livelihoods program where we train some of the women to become trainers to support the other women to continue the project. So for us, we try and work with them very closely to find out what their needs are and deliver the needs based on what they've requested, but also trying to rebuild their lives through livelihoods programs. There's a massive element of, for me, I need tangible, practical solutions. And I guess this case is also that, where we're aiming for something where at the end of it, even if it's a small amount of money, there is something practical at the end of it for them. That's how we try and do it.
Coming back to the victims of the Australian IS fighter, how are they made aware of this process? Do they understand what you're going through by taking this case up into the courts here in Australia?
So we work very closely with them. And one of the things that I've learned over the years is a lot of people will speak to the women, take their stories and publish them or take them elsewhere or take testimonies, but not actually update them on what's happening with their stories. Somebody will come and interview them and they disappear forever. So what we do is we're very close to them and we keep them updated. They know what we do at every step. They know that it might be successful, it might not be successful. They know that they might get some compensation, they might not get some compensation. They know everything and we're updating them constantly. But they also know that what we're doing is something so new that it doesn't already exist, that if we were to do it, then they would have helped through that process and they feel quite proud to be part of that.
Were there any hesitation from them to come forward in the beginning?
I think the women have been asked by so many people for their stories. So initially there would be hesitation. But with us, we've built so much trust with the community and we've worked with them so closely and we don't make any promises that we can't keep. We're very, very honest with them. We keep them updated. So on that basis, there wasn't that hesitation with us. And so we've been able to work with them and we've stuck to our promise of keeping them updated and keeping them aware of the situation and keeping our team quite small. So this has been going on for 3 years, but actually we've never once gone to the media. We've never really spoken about it to anyone. We've actually just focused on our mission and kept them updated. So from that perspective, we've built a lot of trust and there wasn't any hesitation with us.
Well, Taba and Shorish, thank you so much for your time and we wish you all the best.
Thank you.
لگل SBS رادیو بشی کردین.